Welcome to Relentless Pursuit Ministries. If you are listening to this message, we want to say thank you. The vision and the mandate of our church is we are an apostolic, creative, sending and receiving ministry for the equipping of the sons and the daughters of God to see the gospel impact every family, every neighborhood, every city, every nation until the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. If you would like more information, please check out our website at relentlesspursuitministries.org.za and you would find lots of information about our ministry and the church and all of the activities that we do, not only in South Africa, but the rest of the continent of Africa and the world abroad. God bless and have a beautiful day. Okay, cool. And so we're excited for what the Lord's doing because we want to raise up healthy fivefold ministers of the gospel. I think there's way too many disgruntled Christians walking out there when the body of Christ needs to honor its members. Okay, last announcement. Then I'm excited to jump into the Word. For those of us that are, for those of you that are joining the worship school, we starting a worship school in the month of March. Registrations is happening after the service. Please, you need to bring your form to do that, and just bring it, Pastor Khadre, Evangelist Khadre, Apostolieke Meneer van God gaan daar binne wees. So if you just catch up with them after the service in the room at the back, and bring your forms and stuff, and we'll take it from there. Okay. You guys ready? You ready? Can I ask you to stand quickly? Let's just stand so I can waste time and blow my nose. Okay, close your eyes for me. Okay, put your hand on your heart. This morning, I'm going to be ministering into some things that are going to be challenging you. I'm going to say and make biblical accurate statements that's going to rock you. But I want to ask you not to close your heart. Because if you truly understand what the Lord wants to release in your life, you will walk in true prosperity, not only financially, but also physically and emotionally and spiritually. And so pray this with me. Say, God, this morning I am ready to receive your word. Even though it challenges me, even though it might shake my foundation, that is okay. Because I want Jesus Christ to be my foundation. And everybody said, amen. Awesome. Thank you. You can grab your seats. So if you do see Pastor Khadre or Evangelist Khadre walking down the street, please give him a lift. Who would like to buy him a donkey? That would be amazing. If he still had his long hair, huh? Listen, all these Western people, because they must think Jesus got blonde and blue eyes. Yo, we ride with, there comes Khadra down the road with his donkey. Be amazing. Amazing. Okay, if you've got your Bibles with you, please open it up on Proverbs 11. Some of you, yo, I just saw like moths come out of the Bibles. Please make sure that you read the Old and the New Testament. The Old Testament is revealed in the New, and the New is found in the Old. Okay. Are we good? Everybody there? Proverbs 11 and 24 to 26 reads as follows. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible so that I can be fancy. So, I want to be fancy. There is one, say there is one, say this, say I am one. So imagine this scripture refers to you, Shane, that whenever someone reads this scripture, that they are actually talking about you, Neville. I am this one. Now listen, there is one who generously scatters abroad and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, but it is results only in poverty and want. The generous man is a source of blessing and shall be prosperous and enriched. And he who waters waters others will himself be watered, reaping generously what he has sown. And so this morning, I'm going to be teaching you on the 9 principles of tithing. You go like, yo, I'm going to sit here till 2 o'clock tonight. No, it's very simple. The 9 principles of tithing come from Scripture. And they are actually so simple and so easy that if you would just be willing to do one of them, your life will change. Isn't that amazing, Shane? God says these are 9 things you can do to be prosperous. And if only you would do one, it would work. Imagine if you did all 9. Huh? Sorry, is that Shabin language? Yesterday we were listening to Mandoza. Who remembers Mandoza? Anybody? Hey? Sorry. Get behind me, Satan. Listen, this old man is rearing his head. Someone must put a net over the baptismal pool there. No, nobody caught that. Bible college students, please tell me you caught that. No, oh, we're going to have to redo that subject. Okay. Again, I'm not a comedian. I'm not a comedian. Sorry, I just need to remind myself. My wife is already tuning me. I'll stop. Every believer has a financial responsibility before God and the local church to pursue the God-ordained vision. Every ministry, every church, I believe on the face of the earth, God gave a vision to. And every vision needs provision. Say provision. Which means to fulfill the vision, we need something before it. We need provision. And there's this saying, wherever there's vision, there will be provision. Wherever God guides, He will provide. And there's all these cute little sayings. But in the end, we cannot do anything as a ministry to fulfill the vision and the mandate God has given us without you. Because guess what? We serve a God that wants to use you, Dale. I don't know why. But He has chosen to... Why are you laughing at your brother, Shane? You're not making this any easier for me. Okay. But God wants to use you, Miller. And one of my friends posted this thing 2 weeks ago. He said that God sent ravens to feed Elijah because the people were disobedient. Now, let it not be said of our generation that God has to send animals to preach and show and demonstrate the gospel because we are disobedient. But I want to get to heaven one day and be absolutely naked because I've given and left everything on earth. I don't want to get to heaven and I get to the gates of heaven, those pearly gates. It's not the toilet. It's the personal. Yeah, I'm going to stop. You get to heaven and there's these gates and all of a sudden you got to open up your pockets, Kalal, and there's all of the stuff in your pockets. You got to chuck out your pockets because you can't take it into heaven. But the Bible says, store up treasures in heaven. Who knows what treasures in heaven are? Have you ever wondered? Because the Bible tells us to store up treasures in heaven. Then we go like, we don't really know what it is. Do you want to know what treasures in heaven are? It's you. It's people. You are the treasures in heaven. People that you lead to Jesus is your treasure. Because guess what? Gold in heaven has got no value. How do we know that? The streets are made out of it. But here on earth, we see gold. Oh, gold. But in heaven, you walk on it. Isn't it amazing what we value and what heaven values? Heaven values souls and people. And so we want to build treasures in heaven. The leadership team sets the attitude towards giving in a church. Myself and Pastor Maxine, we have to demonstrate a lifestyle of generosity. One of the 3 pillars of our church is what? Let me ask the leader. Should I put them on the spot? I won't do that. Dale almost like had a semi heart attack there. Number 1, it's the presence of God. Number 2, it is family. We value family. We value the presence of God above things. Number 3, it's generosity. The very definition of the gospel is generosity. How do we know that? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. A stingy Christian has got no revelation of the finished work of Jesus. Because we have a Savior in heaven who gave up everything, gave up deity. Pastor Kadri and myself, I roped him in. I've mentioned to you before, I'm busy doing a study on the Trinity. So I didn't want to do it alone. So I told him, you're doing it with me. And so we're doing this the study. And one of the definitions, why Jesus was given the name above all names, the crown above all crowns, why Jesus was considered to be worthy to open the scroll was because of what he did. Do you see that Jesus was fully God when he was on earth, correct? Fully God, but he was fully man. Do you know that he chose to lay down his deity and be fully reliant on the Holy Spirit? In other words, he said, I want to be like one of God's sons and daughters. I want to lay down my deity to show my obedience to the Lord. And it says in Philippians that he laid down his deity to be like us. Isn't that profound that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords did this? And so for us as a church, our leadership demonstrate giving, tithing. All of our leaders tithe. All of our leaders give. All of our leaders give sacrificially. Some now have to walk around because of those sacrificial giving. That's why Pastor Khadra has been exercising so much. Evangelist Khadra, that's why he's been running so much, so that he can run everywhere. Yes, it's gonna be, someone else needs to give away a car or something, otherwise I'm going to have jokes about him the whole year. But you shouldn't trust a leadership that asks you to do something they're not willing to do themselves. That's why people battle with the government of this nation. The government of this nation asks you to save electricity while they live in mansions that have got more lights than Loftus-Versfeld or any rugby stadium. And so we trust people that have demonstrated the very thing they are requiring of us. That's why we trust Jesus, because the very thing he's asking of us, he did. He laid down his life for me and you. Oscar, Judah, he laid down his life for you. You guys are so far now. Miss you guys. Hi. And it's important that we understand that we need to trust people who are willing to do those things. If the pastor and the leadership team display a liberal, faithful, and joyful attitude towards giving, then the church should have the same attitude. And why the Bible says anointing flows from the head. God wants to trust his people with wealth and abundance. As righteous leaders and people with integrity, we never need to stoop to manipulate or coerce people, because the word requires us to tithe and to give. Okay. The liberty or the stinginess of our attitude towards giving has a far-reaching effect beyond generations. Do you know that your season of giving can unlock the destiny of your children, Dale, that you're going to have one day? Do we understand how profound that is? That money that Evangelist Kadri sowed into this ministry, do you think he just sowed it into this church? No. He sowed it into every church plant that will ever come out of this ministry. Every seed that he sowed will have a legacy that will last throughout eternity. In heaven one day, his seed is going to be on display in salvations, in people getting born again and saved. Your seed, the money that you give, has got an internal impact. And we need to come to understand that God wants to use our finances to shape and transform the face of the earth. Let me give you a beautiful example from scripture. Joseph. Joseph, through faithfulness to God, became the right-hand man in Egypt. And through his faithfulness, look what Joseph did. He took the wealth of an unrighteous king and saved his own nation. Imagine if you understood heaven's kingdom finance. And all of a sudden, you're placed in a position of authority. You're placed in government. You're placed in a school. You're placed in something. And someone says to you, hey, we have been given 100 million rand. Here's a tender for 100 million rand for you to do something. What would you do as a righteous son of God? What eternal impact would you have with that finances? Would you be like Joseph that would say, I can save the nations? Or would you be like that servant that pockets everything for himself? We want to stimulate and motivate God's people to be obedient to His word. We must do it God's way. We must lift up God's word as the only way to think about finance. Listen, do you know how many people I know listen to podcasts? They know more about Joe Rogan than they know about the Bible. They know more about Jordan Peterson than they know about the Bible. They listen to podcasts. They read books on finances. They study all of those things. But in here is the key to true prosperity. If you would truly apply the word of God, you will never lack again. But it's because we approach God with a worldly mindset. You can never come to God with earth's currency. Never. What is heaven's currency? It's faith. Faith is the only thing that pleases God. And when you take your finances and with faith put it into the hands of the Father, man, he can do amazing things with it. God is looking for people who will obey the principles of finance and demonstrate to a skeptical and unbelieving world that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to walk with God and to please Him. For whoever comes near God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him. Do you know one of the big reasons why people battle with finances and why they battle to give? Is because that means they truly have to believe that God exists. Why is it easy for you to go to the shop and put money down and purchase something? Because you can see it. Would you go to a shop and pay for something and then not see it? No, you wouldn't. Because then you would say they're stealing from you. But many people approach God with that same mentality. They don't want to give to God because they cannot see. Then they look at the pastor and go, oh yeah, no, the pastor's got a fancy new shirt. His children all got new shoes on. He are driving a BMW. The moment that finances leaves your hand, you are no longer responsible for it. Neither should you worry about it. I have to stand before God one day with your seed. Because you bring me your seed and I have to steward it well, because God is going to keep me accountable for your 100 rand that you've sown, for your 50 rand that you've sown, for your 80,000 rand that you've sown, for your 148,000 that Clark has sown. The Lord is going to keep me accountable for those finances. I've got to stand before God and say, Lord, look what I have done. Here is Pastor Nick's seed. Here is Neville and Danette's seed. Here is Taryn and Dan's seed. Here is Clark's 148,000. Lord, here is all of their seeds. Look, God, here's the harvest. Here's the souls that have been saved. Here's the cities that have been transformed. Here's the nations that have been impacted with the seed that these people have trusted me with. Now, as a church, we are 100% accountable. You want to see the church bank accounts? Here's my phone. We can log in right now. Pastor Maxine and myself don't earn a salary. We tithe 100%, baby. Why? It's not mine. Do you know how freeing that is? That I'm not held bondage by finance. Again, that song, give it away, give it away. Do you know how awesome it is to wake up and my wife says, babe, the Lord said we're buying a car for someone today. It's like, okay, cool, babe. Do we have money? Nope. Okay, babe. Do you know what happens? 4 hours later, we give someone keys for a car. We don't know how it happens. We just know when we step out in obedience, God moves. Do you know how many times we've done that? 3 times already. Marry a woman that is radical and wildly in love with Jesus. Come on. I get this look from her and I know I'm either giving something away today, we're raising something from the dead, something's happening, but there's fire in her eyes and passion in her heart and it's over, baby. And so I want to... I love you. Actually, feel my bulky. I've got to be very careful. I made her very uncomfortable. This pregnancy is tough. Okay, so let's look at the first principle of tithing. Don't worry. You go like, yo, this is a long introduction. Don't worry. I've got you. I know some of your heart. You want to go swim? I know. Can you give the Lord half an hour? Is that okay? Too much to ask for the King of all of heaven and earth, for the one who paid the highest price, who endured the cross, who bled out all of his blood, was pierced on his side. Is half an hour enough? Can you do half an hour? Okay. Wisdom, we need to take all these white people to those churches in Africa, babe. 6 hours worship and praise. The pastor is still waking up. Still having pap and maroch. Only my brothers from Zimbabwe will know what marocho is. Do you guys know what marocho is? It's called African spinach. It's horrible. But you have muscles like that man. The Zimbabwean people know. Give them muscles. Number one. Tithe is the first of our wages and the first of our increase. In Deuteronomy 26 verse 10 it says, and now look, I have brought the first of the produce of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. Everything you have is the Lord's, so give it to Him. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all of your crops or your income. Then your barns will be abundantly filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. Okay, so number one, bring it to Him. Number two, the tithe is the acknowledgement that all we have belong to God. I often say this statement. I say that you should not ask God how much you should give. You should ask Him how much can you keep. Because in the end, you are just a steward of what has been given to you. My son, my beautiful son, Jude, over here. My daughter, Sarah. My little boy, Levi. And baby Iris Hope, who's going to have blue eyes. Kurabashandele. She'll have blue eyes. Her sissy blow work is here. Yeah, weet it, yeah. I am their guardian and their steward. I will be held accountable for their lives. You will be held accountable for what you do with the person of Jesus Christ. Do you understand how powerful that is? That you're going to get to heaven and they're going to ask of you, what have you done with the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? What have you done with Jesus? And you're going to be held accountable. The stone which I have set up, the pillar of monument to God's house, a sacred place, and of everything that you give me, I will give a tenth. Genesis 28 verse 22. In Deuteronomy 8:11-20, it says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep His commandments. Listen. The old Afrikaans, I'm going to use my grandparents. My Oma used to do this thing. She used to say to me, if you ever call me this, I hit you with the mic. But my Oma used to call me Pierki. Tani Riki is now forbid, was it verloren? But then she used to call me Pierki. And Pierki had to come running. And she used to give me money. It's like, Go buy lotto tickets for me. And if we win R1 million, we'll give R100,000 to the church. So you're like, let's manipulate God so we can win the lotto. Like, God, hey, I'll give $100,000. Like, how stupid are we? My opa used to do the same. You know what my opa used to do? He used to hide his suit in the back of the tractor in where they put the mealies, the seeds. He used to hide it in there and tell my oma that he's going to plant mealies. And the field was 5 kilometers away. So he would drive the tractor. Then he would hide a car in the bush. And then he would go gambling. And then he would come back the evening and put on his dirty clothes and come back with the tractor. And he would go gamble like that. My Oma had no idea. She had no idea. I think she did. But she just loved him. And like, oh, she used to call him Tace. Oh, Tace, it's okay. But listen to this now. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep His commandments and His statutes which you have been commanded today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied and your silver and gold multiply and you have all the increase, then your heart will become lifted up, self-conceited and arrogant, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. When people say to me, we don't have finances to tithe, that's the very reason why you don't have finance. The tithe should be the first thing that you do. Because if you make statements, say, Lord, when things are going better, then I will tithe. Do you know what you are saying? You have forgotten the Lord and you've forgotten His commandments. That's what Scripture says. Number three, tithing is to be given with an attitude of worship and rejoicing. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose. Those of us that have come from a farming background, you're not just going to walk and hoi the stuff everywhere. You prepare the soil. You plow the ground. You put compost in the ground. You take out all the thorns and the thistles. You make rows and you use machinery that accurately plant the seed at correct depths. Do you know that the distance between the mealy corns, for example, has to be a set distance and they have to be planted a set depth? If they are not planted a distance apart and at a set depth, they die. So the farmer can't just come and go, Milis. He can't do that. Is he okay? Oh, Lord, just help this poor man. He can't just do that. He would be wasting his seed. And so he has to be thoughtful and purposeful. When you give, be thoughtful and purposeful. Go, Father, I'm taking this 148,000 rand and I'm going to give this 148,000 rand into the church for this purpose, for the building, for salvation, for my family, for my daughter that is backslidden, for my son that needs Jesus, for my husband that's got a drinking problem, for my sister that refuses to forgive my mother, for my tiny Pete Pompis, tiny Sarki. It doesn't matter, but make sure that your seed has got purpose and direction. Don't just sow seed everywhere, but be purposeful in how you give. We have to, just as He has decided in His heart. Do not grudgingly give or under compulsion. Don't give because you're being manipulated. Heavens, no. Give because you love Jesus. For God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in His gift. And God is able to make all grace abound, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you might always, under all circumstances, regardless of your need, have completely, sufficiently everything. Come on. Isn't that powerful? I need more tissues. My nose has hit a leak. Neville, you're a plumber. Can you help me with that? Ek in hierdie kerk is weer vandag baie funny, maar die mense gee dit nie vir my nie, hoor. Okay. The next verse, John 12, 3-7. Pastor Maxine ministered onto this last week so incredibly beautifully. Then Mary took a pound of very expensive perfume and pure nard, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance and perfume. Listen, Pastor Maxine mentioned it last week. Evangelist Kadra did something that never again will happen. Never again are we going to try and buy this property. Once it's bought, it's been bought. So he sowed a seed that will produce a harvest that he'll never again have an opportunity for. Isn't that profound? This woman, in worship, poured out everything she had. Never again will we have that opportunity. Never again will Jesus sit with people with His feet full of poofies and stroinkies and alaikut from His work and walk in all day. By the way, he walked in Jesus 3000. Mila's got a pair, she'll post a photo later. But Jesus' feet was messed and she used her hair to wash His feet. In His feet was grime and muck. Never again will anybody have that privilege to do something like that again. Imagine you do something on the face of the earth that nobody ever again will have the privilege of doing. guess what? When you give into the things of God, that's exactly what you're doing. We need to change the way we give and understand this is about something way bigger than us. This is about the advancement of His kingdom. Number four, tithe is the sacred portion we set aside to the Lord, and it is holy. It is holy. It is holy. How profound is that? That God considers what you give to be holy. That when you put your hand in your pocket or you do an EFT transfer, that is a holy moment before the Lord. Imagine if we took it as holy, as the word says. I'm going to read you the verse now. Imagine before you gave, you sat down and said, Father, I thank you right now that this is a holy moment. Lord, that in this moment, Lord, let me feel the weight and the glory of what I'm about to do. Lord, I don't just sow this seed because I'm asked to do it. I sow it because I'm firstly obedient to your word. Secondly, I'm a cheerful giver. And thirdly, this is holy unto you. And so, Lord, as I sow this seed, let me feel the weight of eternity as this seed lands on fertile soil, and that this seed is going to change and shape and form and mold people's destinies and alternations. Hallelujah. Let me feel the glory upon what I'm going to do. Man, you would give way different, wouldn't you? But how do we give? Snap, scan, and then you move on. No holiness, no reverence. But when you give, it's holy. Changes things, doesn't it? It's holy. Okay, let me read you the verse. Listen, I'm having absolute fun. I love teaching the Word of God. That's why now I've developed a mobile pulpit. I'm going to patent this. So now I can come and preach to you. The only thing I want to do is I want to make it motorized, that it follows me. Yes, that'd be amazing. Or I should put Jude in it and Jude can walk it around. Hey, Jude. I won't do that. Here's the verse. Leviticus says, all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord, and it is holy. Number five. Tithe is given as an act of obedience. Ho, 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 ho. Sometimes you don't feel like giving. That's exactly when you should, if the Holy Spirit leads you to. 100% of the time when Maxine and myself have given, we didn't have enough. We've bought other people vehicles when we needed them. Three times that has happened. We need a new vehicle. For some reason, my family is extremely fruitful. I've got nothing to do with it, but Maxine just multiplies, and now we've got more babies, and we need a bigger car. And in our family, we've had it, more children. We've got Wisdom over here. Wisdom, smile so I can see where you are. He's over there. Why are you laughing? We've got Khadra. We've got Pierre. Our family is big, right? And so many times we've given out of obedience when we have had nothing. Nothing. Our cupboards are empty. Our wallets are empty. Man, Tori Tantmais is bankrupt. We get nothing. Nothing. But when we give out of obedience, it's so powerful. Deuteronomy 26 says, I have not eaten from the tithe while mourning, nor I have removed any of it when I was ceremonially unclean, nor offered any of it to the dead. I have listened to the voice of the Lord my God. I have done everything accordance to how you've commanded me. Number six, the tithe should not be used for personal use. Do you know how many of you eat your own seed? If there's no seed in the ground, you've got no right to ask for harvest. Let me say that again. If there's no seed in the ground, you have got no right to ask for harvest. God said after the great flood, He said, seed time and harvest time will remain. Many people, instead of tithing, eat their seed. And let's be honest, we do this. Oh, next month I'll tithe double. None of you have ever done that? You guys have never done that? Come on, let's be honest. We've done that. Where we say, okay, next month I'll tithe double. Oh God, I just need that pair of shoes. I'll tithe 8% this month. Yeah, Dale, you with all your squinkies. Dale's got more shoes than Maria. Come on, let's be honest. Many of us have eaten our seed. And then we wonder why we don't see a harvest. We need to be obedient. Leviticus 27 verse 30 is the verse for that. Number 7. Tithe is the one aspect that resists the curse that can affect our lives. Malachi 3, 8 to 12 says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. My goodness. That verse should scare you. I don't want to get on God's wrong side of the book, hey? But imagine God says to you, you've robbed me because you haven't tithed, you haven't given. That's a scary verse. Bring all, so then it says, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me. Then we wonder why we don't have breakthrough, why we don't have deliverance. Because we are robbing God. Scary verse. Now listen to the next verse. Bring all the tithes, the tenth, into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing until there's no more room to receive it. Then I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So good. Do you know that when you tithe, you've got something to rebuke him with? So when you give and something happens to your car, you can go, ha, Lord, I rebuke the devourer. I'm a faithful sower and tither. Lord, I thank you that the enemy is meant to bring evil to this house, to my family. And Lord, because I stand upon your word, you will rebuke the devourer for me. Luke 6, verse 38 says, give and it will be given unto you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, with no space left over. For with the standard and measure that you give to others, it will be measured unto you. Number 8. Almost there. Come on, hang on. Almost there. You can still light the fires and still have a bribe before 2 o'clock. Just hang on. Number 8. The tithe is the provision for releasing ministry in the local church. Okay. Provision. Without proceeds from you, there will be no vision in the church. When I gave my life to Jesus, I gave it to him completely. Which means I gave my life to you. Because I'm your servant. I'm a fivefold minister of the gospel. The book of Ephesians says that my purpose and my role and my life is now set apart to equip you. My life is no longer my own. Every decision I make is for you. Every prayer I pray is for you. Every tear I cry is for you. My life has been laid out for you as members of this church. Because I gave my life to Jesus. And so I'm not doing this for my own sake. I'm not asking you to tithe for my sake. I'm asking you to tithe so that we can fulfill the mandate of heaven upon the face of the earth. Everybody cries, Jesus, come back. Jesus, come back. Jesus, come back. Daryl was telling me the other day, 1% of Japan know Jesus. 1%. Jesus will not come back. I don't care what end time revelation cuckoo nut thing you're watching. Jesus will come back when the gospel has been preached to every tribe, every tongue, and the whole earth has been encountered by his glory. That's what scripture says. So get your head out of the cuckoo pot and get your face into the word and be obedient to the word of God and preach the gospel. Some people read so much revelation that they're useless, man. They can tell you how many eyes the beast has and don't drink this, don't do that, da 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 da. Yet they're not obedient to the word which says, go. Go. Whenever someone comes to me with their end time nonsense, very simple, I ask them, well, are you practicing what the word says? Are you preaching the gospel? And they say no. Then I'm like, okay, then what right have you to speak to me about scripture that you're not even disobeying? You're not even obeying that word. How on earth do you want to come and lecture me and teach me about end times? Yet you sit there with your fat pants and you're a couch potato Christian. Oh, you gotta help me. you know why I get upset about that stuff? Because if Christians stop moaning and complaining about end times and this, and don't drink this, and 666 and 666, do you know that 90% of the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled? Just do a historical study. Oh, the beast. Do you know what the beast is? Do you know what the Antichrist is? Anybody that doesn't obey this is Antichrist. Because he gives you a command, and if you don't follow it, you are Antichrist. So it's not some loon that's going to come out of Russia or that's going to come out of this nation or that nation. The Antichrist is you in the mirror when you're disobeying the word of the Lord. Jesus said that the spirit of the Antichrist is already on the face of the earth. It's a spirit. Heaven forbid Jordan, let you not be the body that it possesses. I'm passionate about these things. You know why? Do you know how many believers fall astray into this useless garbage? They get so caught up and they let's move to a mountain and we pray and we fast and we're absolutely useless. Or let's go join a church called Relentless Pursuit Ministries that obey the word of God, that act wild, shout wild, scream. Their pastor looks like a cuckoo, but that doesn't matter because at least he obeys the word of the Lord. I'd rather be around people that are mocked, persecuted, that are called funny names, but at least they are obeying the word of God. I'd rather be around people. I'd rather be around people that are persecuted, spat at, cursed at, that are called all sorts of names online. I'd rather be around people that I can ride donkeys with, that I can walk with because we gave our car away, that we gave our houses away. I'd rather be around people that fulfill the word of God, that are willing to put their faces and their hands to the plow and chase after people like Jesus leaving the 99, then be a person sitting behind a camera or a phone watching a YouTube video about some weird donkey man who thinks he knows who the Antichrist is. Number eight. The tithe, yeah, help me. The tithe is the provision for releasing ministry in the local church. Nehemiah 13, 10 to 12. I discovered that the portion due to the Levites had not been given to them, so that the Levites and the singers who did the work had gone away, each one back to his own field. Then I reprimanded the officials and said, why is the house of God neglected? I will not let the house of God be neglected on my watch. I will wash the floors. I'll clean the toilets. I'll pick up the papers. Why? Because it's His house. It is His glory. It is His honor. Excellence will be the portion of the saints of God. We will do everything to the best of our ability. Why? Because He is worthy. We will give every cent. Why do we spend money on lights and pretty little things and paintings up the sky? Because He is worthy. He is worthy to be worshipped. He is worthy to have and to receive everything. So we will give our best to Him. Why do we want to give our best to the world? We want to give our best to fancy cars, our best to big houses, our best to all of those things. But you walk into the house of God, the toilet seat is broken, the paint is ugly, the dustbins are full. No, but when someone walks into the house of God, they must see the glory of God resting on every chair and every toilet and every piece of paper and on every cup and on every chair and everything. They must see and experience Jesus. What if we had that attitude? This is so much more than tithing. Can you see it?
Jude, I think we should go fishing. Good idea.
Acts 28 verse 10. They also gave us many honors, gifts, courtesy, expressing respect. And when we were setting sail, they supplied us with all that we needed. 1 Corinthians 9 says, for it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while treading out the grain. Do you keep it from eating the grain? Okay. Do you not know that those who officiate the sacred service of the temple eat from the temple offerings? And those who regularly attend the altar have their share. It's talking about ministers of the gospel. We will never use tithes and offerings in this church to become rich. This man, Pierre, who's somewhere, and Wisdom, smile so I can see you. They live in our house. For what moment have you seen us ever use what comes into this church for our own gain? One moment. Never. How long have you been living in my house? 2.5 years. Blackness came with Khadre. He's been living in our house. Pierre has been living in our house. There are other people that have lived in our house. We will never use finances for our own gain. If we use finances for our own gain, go to another church. Leave this church. Because then I'm lying and unworthy to be standing here teaching you. Number 9 and the last one. Kalal's almost asleep here. It's okay, Kalal. Number 9. Tithe is not just Old Testament teaching. Both Jesus and the apostles confirmed tithing and giving. Woe, Matthew 23:23 says, woe to the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you give a tenth of your mint and dill and come and focus on minor matters, but you have neglected the weightier things. Matthew 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 says, now concerning the money collected for the saints in Jerusalem, you are to do the same as I direct the churches to do. On the first day of every month or week, one of you put something aside in proportion to his prosperity and save it, and that it be collected for the church. In other words, in your heart, determine how much you should give. Biblically speaking, the tithe means 10%. This Sunday, we just looked at the tithe. Next week, I'm going to teach into, babe, I named it, now I forgot the name, but how a Christian should deal with his finances. In terms of debt, in terms of biblical living according to finances. Next week I'll teach you into that. But you need to understand that we give to God out of a place of absolute devotion and worship. Absolute devotion and worship. When someone comes to me and their face is drenched with snot and tears and they hand me a 10 rand, it's got more weight and anointing and authority on it than someone who gives me 100,000 rand. Because it's never about the quantity, but always about the quality. Look at Jesus and the woman who gave the last of what she had. So I'm going to send around the tithes and the offerings. We haven't taken it up. Let's take up tithes and offerings for today. So you can give. If you want a snap scan clock, if you want to deposit that money, I would really appreciate it. I've been waiting now 4 weeks with you. Guys, I'm just messing with Clark because now all the ladies are going, oh, he's rich. Maybe he should go on a date. Just give Clark some space, okay? Ladies, let me tell you, if there's someone that knows how to hide money under stones and rocks, it's Jock. So, if there's someone that will be a millionaire in our church, but nobody will know it, it'll be Jock. Jock's probably like a multi-millionaire by now, but you won't know it because he'll still eat dry bread and very funny. At least he got a haircut, so that's good. And it was Jock's birthday this week, so let's make him feel awkward. We love you, Jock. Okay. Thank you for giving. I'm going to pray over that stuff. Come, Jock. Hey, like it. Yay, Clocky! Yeah, when Clark gave that money, his pants came up to here because the weight of the money was so heavy on his pants. All of a sudden, his pants are now like, yeah. Okay, let's pray. Yeah, let's put it down then. Let's pray over the tithes. Father, I pray for every seed that is sown in Jesus' name. Lord, the devotion that is in here, let that produce the harvest. Lord, we bless you, we honor you, and we thank you, God. Lord, that you are going to provide every cent we need for this property. Lord, not for man's glory, but for yours. Lord, that out of this church, out of this ministry, we will see churches planted in every nation of Africa. Lord, out of this church, We will see families restored. Sons and daughters come back to Jesus. Marriages restored. Businesses birthed, God. Schools created, Father. That out of this church, God, revival will burst forth, God. That out of this church, Lord, through the seed that is sown into this ministry, Lord, we will see an end time harvest, Lord, that will do damage to the kingdom of darkness. And Father, we will never ever let finances be an excuse for us to obey the commandments, the commissioning, and the ordinances of God. Lord, even if we have to use our very hands and our very feet to walk, God, we will walk the miles. We will pray the prayers until we see salvation come to every man and every son and every daughter and every husband and every wife. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Tithing, so much more than money. Let me try and say that deeper. Tithing. So much. What's Pierre? I should just have Pierre sit in here. Okay, Pierre. Okay. You guys see I'm a little bit passionate about Jesus. So, I want to pray for a couple of people. And then we're going to invite the ministry team up to come and pray for you. And just minister to you. You know Jesus loves you. Can we be honest with each other this morning? If you battle with finance, I want you to stand. Okay. Come on, let's close our eyes. I want you to come stand in front. Let's wheel away the wine barrel. I want you to come in front. If you stood up, come to the front. I want to anoint you. Yeah, I want to share a testimony with you. And I know you can push it straight. Push it straight. It's fine. I want to share a testimony with you while you come to the front. We want to pray for you. Don't be alarmed. We won't do anything weird. But we really want to pray for you. Pastor Maxine and myself, when we lived in Australia, we had very little money. We battled financially. We really did. And we went through a season of immense lack. But we would see God supernaturally provide for us. But we had to come to a place where we had to acknowledge that we're battling with finances. And I had a father come to me, Pastor Finney, who's my apostolic leader, came and he broke a spirit of poverty off of me. A spirit of poverty is a mindset and it's an attitude. And what I want to do is I just want to anoint you and release a spirit of abundance over you, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's very simple. We're just going to anoint you. And when we pray, if you just say, Lord, I receive abundance. And I'll give you guys a practical example of this. Before Maxine and I came back from Australia, they lost Sarah's passport. And we were without a house, without a car in Australia, and without an income for 8 months. Living on people's couches, going from house to house. Do you know that Pastor Finney and Pastor Izzy took care of us? And I'll never forget, he booked and he didn't spare any expense. Because sometimes we help people, but we're cheap. We give them their old clothes instead of going to go buy them new clothes. Why do you do that? Jesus would never do that to you. Do you know how many times I give away brand new pairs of shoes? It's a joke if you give your old stuff away. Because if you don't deem it worthy to be worn, why do you give it to someone else? But if you truly want to help someone, go buy them new clothes. Then you're actually paying a price. And so what he did was, he booked us an Airbnb on one of the best beaches in Australia. Walking distance. If I told you how much it cost, you would freak out. We had no money. He then said, come with me to the shop. Went with him to the shop. And he just started loading the cart. Took us to one of the fanciest shops in Australia and just loaded the cart with stuff. I started weeping as he was doing it. Some of you are so ashamed you don't want to come up for prayer. Your shame will rob you of a blessing. Your shame will rob you from God breaking through to you and breaking for you. We had to get to that place where we had to cry out and say, Jesus, we need you. And in that space, bags and bags of groceries, he put it into the house we were staying. And he said, welcome to abundance. I broke down and got delivered from a spirit of poverty. And yeah. So when we minister to you today, just receive abundance. If you still want to come up, gladly pray for you and just release the word of the Lord over you. Sarah, are you praying with Daddy? For the rest of you guys, let's stretch our hands out to these guys. Okay, let's close our eyes. Oscar, come help me catch the people, please. Wisdom, come. We need your muscles. So, Father, we release abundance over Clark right now. We release abundance. Pastor Maxine, come pray with me. Release abundance over his life in Jesus' name. Abundance, abundance. We release abundance, God. Oh, God, change his mind around kingdom finance. Listen to what the Spirit of the Lord says to you, Jock. You will never earn more than what you give away. You will never earn more than what you give away. You're going to give to measures that's even going to surprise you. We release abundance over him. We release abundance, Jesus. We release abundance, Father. We release abundance over Kari. We break every curse spoken over her finances in Jesus' name. And we release abundance. We release abundance. We release abundance. Thank you, Father. We release abundance, God. Kundre de asura babakare ritura basi. Thank you, Lord. We release abundance. We release abundance, God. Release abundance. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Lord. We thank you, God, that someone will actually pay for her worship school. Lord, the desires of her heart. Lord, I pray she wants to do the worship school, that someone would come to her and say, my daughter, the Lord spoke to me. I will pay your worship school because you are destined, you are called. That song we sang, All Hail King Jesus, she wrote it. She wrote it. And so, Lord, we pray that you would send someone that will pay her worship school for her. We release abundance, God. We release abundance over Shane and his business. In Jesus' mighty name, we release it, God. Kura baba babasi. We release abundance. We release it, God. Era babasero do kumdere de akura. We release abundance, God. We release work. Work. We release work, God. Release work, Father. Release work, God. Kura baba basire. We release it, God. You skip down. We release it, God. We release abundance. Kura baba basire de akura batire. Lord, we thank you for promotion, God. We thank you for promotion, God. We thank you for promotion, Jesus. We thank you for promotion, Lord. We release promotion, God. We release promotion. We release abundance, God. Lord, we remove shame from his shoulders, that he will lift his head because he's a daughter, he's a son of the Most High God, God. And Lord, we remove shame off of his shoulders, that he would walk knowing he's a son. And Lord, you're going to release finances to him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we release abundance, God. Are you guys in the prayer line? Come closer. Release abundance, God. We release abundance, God. Yeah, Lord, we release that word, God. Three times three, three times three, three times three. In Jesus' name. Yeah, I thank you that they're going to see the number 333 as a prophetic sign to them, God. In Jesus' name, we release it, God. Release abundance over them. Release abundance, God. We release abundance, God. In Jesus' name.
Release abundance, God. Kurra baba basirere. Ribodurra bakandere asire. Era rara kuturro bossutere di assutura. Release abundance, Father. In Jesus' name. Yeah, Lord, we release abundance. Hold hands, guys. We release abundance. We break a spirit of poverty. And Father, I thank you that where the enemy has come and eaten their cropped, Lord, that you will produce a great harvest, God, where people have unjustly robbed them. And Lord, where they have lost money because of other people's bad stewardship, Lord, that you would produce a greater harvest in them. That you would give back to them everything that has been stolen in Jesus' name. Release abundance, Father. In Jesus' name, we release abundance. Pastor Nick, just pray for Pauline over there. We release abundance over Peter. Release abundance, Father. Release abundance, God. Yeah, stewardship. Yeah, I see the Lord saying he will be your bookkeeper. He will be your bookkeeper. If you surrender your finances, he will be your bookkeeper. In Jesus' name. We release abundance, God. We release abundance, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Awesome. If there's anybody else here that would like prayer over their finances, please feel free. We would gladly pray for you. The ministry team, I'm going to ask them to come to the front and just pray for people and minister to people. If you need healing in your body, if you've got any sickness or any disease, come. Let the ministry team pray for you. We would want to lay hands on you. The Bible says that the prayers of the righteous avail much. It says that if you are sick, call for the elders of the church. Let them lay hands on you so that you might be healed. So if you need healing in your body, you need a word of encouragement, come. Other than that, I'm going to pray for us to close the service. Wisdom, please stand with Auntie Taryn. No, I just want Wisdom to stand with you so you're not alone. Father, I pray for every person that came today. Lord, will you bless them? Will you keep them? Will you pour out your spirit in their lives, God? Lord, let them have a fantastic week. And God, fill them with your anointing and with your glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a beautiful, beautiful Sunday. We'll see the students on Tuesday. And please remember, those of you that are doing the worship school, don't run away. We are in the Hop and Ballroom to do registration. Thank you.
Well done. You've made it through an entire message. If you enjoyed this message, we would like to give you an opportunity to sow into this ministry. And you can do that on our website, relentlesspursuitministries.org.za. If you would like any more information, you'll find it on the website. Hope you have a beautiful, beautiful day, and God bless.